Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Football Garbage Time Podcast, NFL Week 15 edition. I'm Huxley Wong, editor-in-chief of footballgarbagetime.com, and with me will be senior writer Ryan Whitfield. We have all the top highlights from Week 15 of the NFL. There's plenty to talk about this week. But before we get started, let me go ahead and take this opportunity to give a shout-out to our friends Wally, Will, and Ray from Urban Sports Team in the DMV. As you all know, we've been going heads-up every week against them with NFL picks. They've been 2-0-1. But this week, they managed to go 13-3, topping our 11-5. So hashtag respect to them as they beat us this week. Check them out on podbean.com. They have a terrific podcast every week. They have hundreds of episodes, and they're great every time. So give them a check out, and we're going to keep going heads up with them week in and week out. So we're going to be covering a lot of issues today, and of course the big ticket item today is going to be Odell Beckham Jr. and Josh Norman and all the craziness that's been going on there. But we're going to cover a lot of other things today as well. We're going to talk about the Arizona Cardinals and the impact of Tyron, the Honey Badger Matthew, and his injury and him being out for the rest of the season. We're also going to talk about the team that has the best chance to make the AFC wild card. We're going to talk about the Washington professional football team and Kirk Cousins, deal like that, and much, much more. We got a lot more on tap for you. So let's get started with the very first issue that we have, and that's going to be this Odell Beckham Jr. and Josh Norman issue. So leading up to Sunday's game between the Carolina Panthers and the New York Giants, NFL fans were looking forward to the showdown between one of the most dynamic wide receivers in the league and Madden poster boy, Odell Beckham Jr., and one of the best new corners in the league, Josh Norman. But what we got was much more than just wide receiver versus cornerback. What we got basically was a UFC fight. There was tons of back and forth on the field, including a retaliatory helmet-to-helmet hit from OBJ in the third quarter of the game. So this was a real issue. I think that we saw much more than we wanted to see from them on this issue. We certainly did not want this to blow up in something that was outside of just plain old football. And now we've heard more about it. We've heard that from ESPN's Adam Schefter that apparently there was some pregame shenanigans as well. Apparently during the pregame warm-ups, at least one Panthers official and possibly more were carrying black baseball bats on the field and were motioning them towards OBJ while making comments to him. And in fact, as captured on NFL Films camera, Norman himself later grabbed the black bat and was swinging it during pregame warm-ups. Obviously, there's no need for a bat in pregame warm-ups for football, so certainly that is a little bit of an issue. So OBJ said he felt threatened by that, and that kind of put him in a particular state of mind that caused all sorts of issues. So now OBJ has been suspended for one game, pending appeal, which decision can be out as early as Tuesday evening. And there are a lot of concerns here. And I'll just start by saying that all of this is a big disappointment. It's a huge black mark on the NFL. It's a big black mark on Odell Beckham Jr. and Josh Norman. And it's a huge black mark on the coaching staffs for both the New York Giants and the Carolina Panthers. And in all honesty, I think the problem that we have here is that both coaching staffs should have taken this under their wing and done something about it, and they didn't do anything about it. What they should have done was they should have benched their respective players when they saw the scuffles on the field, and they should have talked to them specifically about their actions on the field. I mean, they were not professional. They certainly were not football-related. They were all personal, and that's something that we don't want to see. Honestly, both of them are at fault. The helmet-to-helmet was absolutely wrong. That's something that OBJ should not have done. He should not have gotten to that point. And in fact, Tom Coughlin actually said later on that he did not in any way support this. He thought it was wrong, and he didn't tolerate this. They don't tolerate this. The problem is that they did kind of tolerate it. They didn't actually bench him. They didn't take him out of the game. They didn't talk to him. Really, they kind of let things go and kind of let the officials deal with the issue, which they did a terrible job dealing with the official. And even though it was clear to everybody on TV, it wasn't clear apparently to them on the field. Now, Ron Rivera did mention that the backline judge did talk to him about controlling Josh Norman and this extracurricular activity that was going on between him and OBJ. Ron Rivera did say that he had the back official talk to Josh Norman and that he relied on his players to talk to Josh Norman. You know, honestly, you're the coach, Ron. You need to talk to him yourself. You need to make sure you lay down the law as well. So both coaches are at fault there. The officials are at fault for not actually controlling the situation. And quite frankly, both Josh Norman and Odell Beckham Jr. are at fault. Is the one-game suspension appropriate? I think that at this time, really, one-game suspension makes sense. It was a dangerous move to go helmet to helmet. That's something that they frown upon in all aspects of the game of football, and doing that with intent, as he did, was not good. So, quite frankly, the one-game suspension, I think, is appropriate. Now, whether Josh Norman is going to be disciplined as well is yet to be seen. There were some reports on ESPN that he would be disciplined in some way, but there's no report yet as to what that would be. I think both players are at fault here, and hopefully we don't see any more from either of them and any other players, and hopefully this will put an end to that. As a note, Ron Rivera did come out today and say that they will no longer be carrying those black bats to pregame warm-ups. Well, thank goodness for that. But honestly, they probably shouldn't have been there in the first place. At any rate, moving right along to the next topic, that is the Arizona Cardinals. The Arizona Cardinals got some bad news this week when Tyron, the Honey Badger, Matthew, was lost for the season due to an ACL injury. Now, it was sustained late in the game when the Cardinals were in full control. But, you know, it's hard to say whether he should have been benched or not or should have been rested or not at that point in time. And the question is, you know, what's the real impact on Arizona now that they've lost him? I mean, they were obviously one of the favorites to make the Super Bowl on the NFC. They've been doing quite well on the offensive side with a rejuvenated Carson Palmer and with David Johnson putting on a real show on the ground. And with Larry Fitzgerald still doing quite well alongside John Brown and Michael Floyd. But how does this impact the defense? Well, the Arizona defense has been one of the most best amongst the league. They've had the fourth most interceptions of any NFL team in the league. At 18, they've allowed the sixth lowest completion percentage to opposing quarterbacks, 59.6%. And they've allowed the fifth lowest passer rating to opposing quarterbacks at 79.2. So they've been very effective at containing the passing attack of opposing teams, and that's helped take the pressure off Carson Palmer and the offense and help them focus on the ground game with David Johnson and really kind of take control of games. Without Tyron Matthew out there, I think there's going to be a major impact. I think he was responsible for a good amount of the reason why they've allowed the sixth lowest completion percentage. He's always out there. He's doing a lot of work in order to contain opposing wide receivers. And that's just one of the things that I think is going to be sorely missed now that he's gone. In fact, he was responsible for 5 of the 18 interceptions. That's almost a third of the interceptions total that the Arizona Cardinals defense had, and that's I think that's pretty significant. He's responsible for a lot, and 89 total tackles, and that's quite a bit when you're talking about a safety. You know, losing Tyron Matthew definitely hurts them. Does it take them out of the NFC picture? I don't think that's the case. I think that they are still a strong contender to make it to the Super Bowl, but this definitely does hurt their chances significantly. It will be a problem for them going forward. I'm sure they'll be able to cover his loss, but I think that opposing offenses will start to try and take advantage of the secondary a little bit more. I mean, Patrick Peterson is still there. I mean, it's not like they've lost everything. But having a good safety is really important and that's going to be a problem going forward. I still think that the Cardinals will go deep into the, and challenge for that NFC spot, but they will probably be less favored now as compared to the Carolina Panthers in light of this injury. Moving on to the third topic, it's the AFC wild card. There's a lot of teams in play here, and the question is which one of them is going to be most likely to get into the AFC wild card. Now, the teams that I had in mind were particularly, I'm thinking about Pittsburgh Steelers and New York Jets, and I think here I'll have to highlight the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you look at what they've done, it's nothing short of amazing. They have the fifth most passing yards per game at 289.7, 12th most rushing yards per game, 113.1, and the fourth most points per game, which is 27. And they've done actually a good job on defense as well, limiting opposing teams to an average of 20.5 points per game, which is pretty good considering they don't have a lot of big names on the defensive side of the ball. Now, Ben Roethlisberger looks amazing. Antonio Brown basically stamped his way into being the best, or at least one of the best receivers in history with his amazing performance against a very strong Denver Broncos secondary this past Sunday. And if they can do that to the Denver Broncos, then looking ahead at the rest of their schedule, they have the Ravens, they have the Browns. They're both on the road, but I would be shocked, absolutely shocked, if they were unable to sew that up and take advantage of that. I really do think that ultimately they should be able to take care of business, wrap that up, and from what I understand, even if the New York Jets win out, they will not be able to get that wild card spot over the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I would be surprised if they don't make that wild card. The next topic we have is the Washington Redskins and Kirk Cousins, you know, and as I said earlier, do you like that? Kirk Cousins has been actually very, very good. I mean, now he's traditionally been, this season at least, been very good at home, but not so good on the road. But honestly, if you look at his numbers from his last couple games on the road, they haven't been that bad. I mean, against Chicago, he put up 300 yards, 77.4% completion percentage, a TD and an INT. That's pretty good. I mean, that's pretty good. Now, Chicago's defense is nothing to be scared of, but honestly, he took what they gave, and he was able to be effective, and his completion percentage has been very, very high. 69.7% for the season, and that's pretty significant if you think about the fact that he really didn't have a lot of weapons until recently. You know, since getting Jordan Reed back and since getting a healthy DeSean Jackson back, it's pretty clear that he has potential to be a franchise quarterback for Washington. And I know I'm not a Washington fan, but I can imagine that Washington fans all over the place are a little hesitant to crown him a potential franchise quarterback. But from what we've seen with Jordan Reed and DeSean Jackson on the field, he's been very effective. They have no running game to speak of. Matt Jones obviously has a lot of potential, but hasn't been able to keep a handle on the ball. And Alfred Morris has definitely fallen off a cliff. You know, he's been very effective. And a big part of them being effective is just the accuracy that Kirk Cousins has shown and the fact that he's taking much better care of the football. In fact, if you look back at his last six games, he's only had two interceptions. That's only two interceptions as compared to 12 touchdowns. That's pretty impressive. And if you look at his completion percentage through those six games, 80%, 73.3%, 69%, 71%, 77.4%, 78.6%, you know, all essentially 70% and higher. It's impressive. He's doing a great job. I do think that they are for real. They definitely have a lead now in the NFC East, and they are unlikely to give that up. The Giants basically need the Eagles to beat the Redskins this weekend, and then they need to win out, and they need Washington to lose again. I mean, it's going to be a lot of things that has to happen for the Giants to get in. There'll be a lot of things that have to happen for the Eagles to get in. I think that the Redskins will actually close out and be the NFC East champs. I didn't think that last week, But I have to admit, after this last week's performance, he looks like he's for real. And that's going to be interesting to how that ultimately turns out once they get into the playoffs, if they'll be effective or not. So last thing we're going to talk about today was a quick rant, and actually we were going to have Ryan Whitfield on here with his rant. I'm sure it would have been related to a number of things, including OBJ and including the New England Patriots, his favorite team. I'm just going to rant about the officiating. I'm going to say the officials have been terrible this year. They've been less than accurate. They've been less than consistent, and that's a problem. You know, I mean, quite frankly, I saw a number of pass interference calls that weren't called yesterday during the New Orleans-Detroit game, and then I saw a lot that were called that looked like makeup calls. I mean, it's pretty clear to me that the officials need to go back to school. And I know there was some announcement recently that there will be more involvement with the folks in the control room in New York, kind of talking and conferencing with those officials who are on the field. But frankly, I think it has to go further than that. It has to go back to education. It has to go back to setting the rules and standards and being clear and consistent from game to game, because we can't have a poor officiating decide games. I mean, that just ruins the entire sport of football. So with that said, that wraps up our week 15 edition of the Football Garbage Time podcast. Check it with us again. I don't think we're going to have our podcast in week 16, but we will return for the playoffs, and we will have all the information ready to talk with you and get to you with our playoff editions of the Football Garbage Time podcast. So until then, enjoy the rest of your football week and have a happy holidays and a wonderful new year.